It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The Cleveland, Ohio Tourism Board expects about 50,000 extra humans to be visiting the city during the Republican National Convention this week. That includes the media, but some reporters on assignment won't be eating the Continental Hotel breakfast or trying to hail cabs. I'm talking about robots. The Washington Post's bot is rolling around the convention hall floor and streaming live video. BuzzFeed's bot is made of software. It's folded into Facebook's Messenger app. BuzzFeed's San Francisco bureau chief Matt Honan is helping to organize BuzzBot's reporting from afar and is on the line to talk with us about that. Hi, Matt. Tell me about what BuzzBot does.
Sure. So if you think about most of the messenger bots that people have seen or probably haven't seen, they use Facebook Messenger to send information. And we had this idea, what if you could use a messenger bot instead of like sending information, sending people stories to try and get information from them? And so what it will do is it will ask questions of people who are at the convention or watching at home and then get them to send it information. And then we're going to use that information in our reporting.
Can you give me an example of a question the BuzzBot will ask?
Depending on where you are, you'll get different queries.
Yeah.
So if you're at the convention, you might get different queries than if you are watching at home, right?
Sure.
And I think today, one of the things that they're going to ask, or maybe have already asked of people in Cleveland, is for an example of the best patriotic outfit. But there also might be questions about protests or questions about where the drink specials are, where everybody's going afterwards.
What can BuzzBot do as a reporter that a human reporter couldn't do?
What the bot can do that a human reporter can't do is ask a lot of people the same question at once. When you think especially about man on the street kind of reporting, It's very time consuming. You send a reporter out, they ask 100 people the same question. What we can do with this is we can ask those same 100 people those same questions all at once and then also have a team of people on the back end analyzing the responses. You might think of it as a great man on the street reporter or woman on the street reporter, but that's just very, very fast.
I've opted in, actually, already. The BuzzBot asked me to send an emoji describing my feelings about the RNC so far.
I think poop was the most popular emoji.
Oh, really? Is that true?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, to each their own, I guess. Matt Honan is BuzzFeed's San Francisco bureau chief. Matt, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.
While we're talking about software and the Republican National Convention, it didn't take long for people to compare video of Michelle Obama's convention speech from 2008 to Melania Trump's speech on Monday night.
The only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
The only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Call it straight plagiarism, or as many of Trump's surrogates have called it, a coincidence. Whatever you call it, there's actually software you can run speeches through these days to make sure passages haven't been lifted. Trump's national campaign co-chair Sam Clovis told MSNBC this week that Mrs. Trump's speech should have been run through anti-plagiarism software, suggesting that it wasn't. You can bet free services like Plagiarisma, DupliChecker, and CopyLeaks are getting a lot of web traffic right now. Storing all of the information in the Library of Congress on a hard drive the size of a grain of salt sounds like science fiction, but atomic memory, as it's called, moved a step closer to reality this week. The idea is to encode ones and zeros by putting single atoms into patterns on a chip. Well, researchers in the Netherlands have now created a rewritable storage device using chlorine atoms in a teeny tiny metal surface. Professor Sander Otte is at Delft University of Technology and worked on this computing breakthrough. Sander, thank you for talking with me.
Sure, you're welcome.
Can you give me a simple definition of atomic memory?
Yes, definitely. So when you store data on your hard disk, right, that is stored in zeros and ones, that's digital data. And on a hard disk, you store that in the magnetization of small chunks of material that either point one way or the other with their magnetization, with their north pole.
Sure.
And that's the zeros and the ones. Now, on the atomic memory, we basically do the same thing, but we use the positions of individual atoms to store the zeros and the ones.
So we're still a long way from this being put into my smartphone, right?
Definitely, yeah.
And that's because it needs to be stored at a pretty cold temperature?
Yeah, so as a physicist, we express how stable something is in how warm you can make it before it starts to basically move by itself. Because the warmer you make things, the more the atoms start to move. And at some point, they won't sit still anymore.
And then all your information will be scrambled.
Exactly, exactly. And we figured out that for this particular surface that we used, it's a chlorine atoms on a copper surface. It's basically a salt surface. We found that that temperature is approximately 77 Kelvin, the maximum temperature, which is the temperature of liquid nitrogen. Even though you would never use this, for example, on your smartphone, I think as a society, we're moving away anyway from storing your data locally.
So do you think that cloud storage and essentially servers is going to be the earliest potential real-world application of this technology that you have worked on?
Yes, but I think that the real message here is deeper, right? We have been able now for the first time to build things on the atomic scale, really playing with the individual atoms to an extent and a level of precision and a level of scalability that nobody has ever seen before. You get so many more possibilities that, to be honest, I think data storage is actually kind of a lame example. On the other side, I wouldn't know what kind of other examples to give you because my imagination is limited as well. But I think we should really just realize that we're here at the beginning of an era where we can do real bottom-up engineering.
Professor Sander Otte is at Delft University of Technology and worked on this computing breakthrough. Sander, thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
And the coveted blue check next to your Twitter account. It's been pretty hard to get on Twitter. The company wants to make it easier to be verified. You can now apply online to do it. No guarantee that you'll get the check. Public figures and media personalities still get priority. I got one. Don't be jelly. Find me at The Brock Johnson. And that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.